Parshas Tzav.
Yes.
So if you have the blue chumashim, we'll read it inside. It's on page 259. And this is going to be the mitzvah of what's called Trumas Adeshen. We're going to see that there are two parts of this mitzvah. There's one part called Trumas Adeshen, and there's another part called Hotzas Adeshen. And first we'll focus on Hotzas Adeshen, actually. So this is Shmos Perek Vav. I'm sorry, Vayikra Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet. And the Pasuk says, Upashat es begodav velavash begodim achirim.
Yes.
He should take off his begodim and wear other begodim. Vahotzi es hadeshen el michutz lamachane el makom tahor. So when the Mizbeach was up and running, they had to, of course, clean out the ashes from the Mizbeach from time to time. That's called Hotzas Hadeshen. If it would pile up, they would need to take it out and put it away. And the Kohen was in charge of doing that. And the Torah tells us that he changes his Bigdei Kohuna in order to fulfill this mitzvah. Now, the first question we want to ask is this Upashat Es Begadav an obligation, or this is just a heter, what we call, he has license, he has permission to do so. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says that this is not an obligation. El derech eretz, the Torah is teaching you that this is a good idea, this is the normal behavior. And why is that so? Shelo yelachlech, that he shouldn't get his begodim dirty, b'otzas hadeshen. In other words, we want to be careful about the cleanliness of the begodim, and therefore it's really recommended, highly recommended, the Torah is advocating that he change his begodim in order to perform the Hotzas Hadeshen. Shadei shelo yilachlech begodim shuhu mishamish bahem tamid. Normally, the Kohen is mishamish with his begodim, what we call the Bigdei Hedjot, and we don't want the Bigdei Kohuna to get dirty. And Rashi quotes something which we'll see later inside is a medrash. Begodim shebisha bem keder l'rabo, yimzog bem kos l'rabo. In other words, there are two services that the servant performs on behalf of his master. One is cooking the food, and there's a lot of mess. And then there is bringing the food, or in the case of drink, pouring the cup for his master. And these are two separate things, because in the case of Bishel Bem Keder, he wears certain begodim. Those begodim are clothes that can get dirty. And then he has the Mezigas HaKos. There, he's really standing in front of his master. He has to look, you know, spiffy. He's got to be in shape, and he has to wear a uniform. So therefore, Lekach, here too, Lavash, V'Lavash Begodim Achirim, P'chusim Mehem. When he's doing the Hotzas Hadeshen, when the Deshen, you know, piles up on the Mizbeach, then he wears different begodim, not the Bigdei Kohuna that he normally wears. So it would seem that since it's possible that the Kohen might get dirty when he does the Hotzas Hadeshen, it's not kavod, it's not the proper respect for the begodim, that he should work in the same begodim and get these begodim muluchloch and get them dirty and soiled. Therefore, it's derech eretz that when he's involved in the Otzas Hadeshen, he should wear a lesser level of begodim, not the original, important, significant begodim of the Kohen, but rather a low-level begodim. And the Ramban has a problem with this Rashi. It says here the word upashat es begodav. And the word upashat would seem to be indicative of a chova, an obligation. This is not a license, this is not a permission that's being granted to the Kohen, but rather this is a mandate that obligates the Kohen. And therefore, even if you can explain this pasuk as calling it derech eretz, that it's the proper behavior to change your God when you're involved in Otzas Hadeshen, nevertheless, it's a chova. The derech eretz generates a chova. It's not a reshus. Why did Rashi say ein zu chova? Now, as we mentioned at the outset, as we move on here in this sugya, there are two types of mitzvahs here, two categories. One is called Trumas Hadeshen, and the other is called Hotzoas HaDeshem. We've been focusing so far on Hotzoas HaDeshem. But there's a basic difference, and there's another category called Trumas HaDeshem. Trumas HaDeshem, which is the opening avoda of the Kohen when he starts his day, as the Pasuk says, and this is here in Pasuk Gimel, it says, V'lovash HaKohen Midevad, U'michsefad Yavash Al-Bsom V'herim Es HaDeshem Eshad Toch Ha'lo'esh Es Ha'ulo Al-Mizbech V'Som Eitz Al-Mizbech. Now we're talking about Haromas HaDeshem. And the mitzvah of Haromas HaDeshem means that the Kohen who goes up to the Mizbech, he takes with him a kometz, right, a fistful of deshen, which he puts into a special kli, a utensil that's called a machta, and he places it on a special spot that's designated in the Ritzvas HaZorah, in the holies. That's where he puts the machta down with this kometz, this fistful of deshen. And this was a separate avoda of Trumas HaDeshen. This is not to be identified with Hotzoas HaDeshen, which is formulated in the very next Pasuk, in Pasuk Dalet. Because in the case of Trumas HaDeshen, this was a daily mitzvah that was incumbent upon the Kohen, and he wore his begadim, and that had to be done ala boker, with daybreak. That was called Trumas HaDeshen. The Kohen goes up to the Mizbeach with this kometz of Deshen and the Machpel. He placed it in a special place. And then it was the Hotzoas HaDeshen, whenever necessary. It wasn't a daily mitzvah. There was no absolute obligation on a daily basis of Hotzoas HaDeshen. It all depended upon when the need arose. If there was a backlog, so to speak, a pile of Deshen on the Mizbeach, it was very voluminous, then they would take it out and spill it chutz l'machne. And for the purpose of that hotzav, taking it from the mizbeach chutz l'machne, they used the special kli. We're not talking about a machta anymore, a fsachtar. And that was a very large kli compared relative to the machta, because it had to contain a lot more deshen, because the deshen, as I said, was clogged up. It was a backlog. Quite a significant amount of deshen that needed a larger kli, and again, this was not a daily obligation, it was from time to time. Now, when the Torah says, in the case of Pasuk Daru, Pasha says Begadav, which is called Hachlofas HaBegadim, does that apply to both of these categories of Avoda, both Tautzas HaDeshen and Gam, also to Trumas HaDeshen? And Rashi, Masech Yoma, is of the opinion that the mitzvah HaTorah of Hachlofas Begadim is only with regard to Hotzoas HaDeshen, but not with regard to Trumas HaDeshen. And the logic of Rashi is very compelling. Hotzoas HaDeshen, when there's a massive volume of Deshen that has to be removed, we have to be afraid, Shavi Yislachleth, that his big Bekuna will become soiled, will become dirty. And therefore the Torah commands him, Uposhat Espagodov, etc. However, with regard to the mitzvah of Trumas HaDeshen, which means to take the machta and place it on the Ritzpah, there in the case of Trumas HaDeshen, which is a very limited amount of Deshen that was put in the machta, everything was clean, there was no need to change the begadim, there was no chashash that maybe the Kohen would dirty and soil his begadim. That's the sheet of Rashi. So Rashi makes this fundamental distinction between the avoda of Hotzoas HaDeshen, which requires chiluf begadim, or at least he has the permission for chiluf begadim, as opposed to, in contrast to, Trumas HaDeshen. There, we don't change the begadim, the Kohen wears his regular begadim. And now we want to see the Medrash that we mentioned before. The Medrash here is in Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Tzav, and it says the following. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Halevi ben Rabbi Shok. Ein Maisav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kemaisav Basav Adam. We should not compare divine activity to that of human mortal man. Lama. Ovid Megidas Shal Basav Adam. If you're talking about man cooking in the kitchen, yesh lo kelim noyim, he has very beautiful utensils, b'shashu yotze l'shuku lovshom. But you know what? If he's in the kitchen, nobody's looking at him, he's in the privacy, and he's getting soiled or dirty by cutting up all the vegetables and so forth and so on, b'shashu ome levashel, then he should not take his kelim noyim, his beautiful garments, and wear them. That's very good when he goes outside publicly. But here he's in the privacy of his kitchen, and he's cooking, and he's getting himself soiled. Then poshed es hayofin. The Medrash says that he takes off the very fine, elegant garments that he usually wears when he goes outside. Velovesh mekuroyim, and he wears rags, you know, shmatas that have been ripped. And b'shashu goref es akirayim. Now we get to the third level, the lowest level, when he actually goes down on all four and he cleans out the oven. Then he puts on the lowest level of begotim. So you have A, B, and C. You know, in the army they have here bigdei aleph. That's the fancy, you know, crispy military uniform they wear when they go outside. And then there's bigdei bet. Here we have also gimel. Anyway, this is all referring to a human being. Amalifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we're talking about service in front of Almighty God. V'shosh HaKohen goref es HaMizbeach. When the Kohen is really cleansing the Mizbeach from its ashes.
Scraping the ash.
Right? U'midashno. Is Hayalovesh Kelim Ulim. He would wear a beautiful Kelim. Shenemar V'lovash HaKohen Midovad. Bishvil, why is he wearing these beautiful kelim? Bishvil, to fulfill the mitzvah of Aherim es HaDeshen, when he takes out the deshen and puts it on the from the machta on the ritzvas hazara. Lomachem, lo diach hashein gaiva lifnei hamokom. Why does the Kohen change his begadim? And the answer is because you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't be a bal gaiva, you know, with your fancy dress. V'chein atamotzi belozer haKohen shoyenoig b'shiflus nefnei hamokom. And the Medrash goes on to tell us that there's a certain Elozer haKohen, and he was praving shiflus. Shiflus means, you know, show that he's low, he's a low being, a certain kind of extreme humility in front of Hashem. What we see here from this midrash is that Trumas HaDeshen, you wear regular clothes. Right? Veherim HaDeshen, you can wear regular clothes. That's what it says over here. Veherim HaDeshen, you don't wear the nicest clothes maybe, but it's V'lovash HaKohen Midei Bad. So Rashi understands that this reasoning of the Pasuk, when it says Uposhat es begadav, is because of lichluch, because he's going to get dirt. That doesn't apply in the case of Trumas HaDeshen. There he doesn't have to take off his clothes. But this becomes very difficult, because according to Rashi, if the command to switch his begadim around is only relevant to Hotzas HaDeshen, then the Kohen is going to have to take off his beautiful clothing, even in a case where he knows for sure that he won't get dirty through the Savoda, he won't be malachlik as Godov. In other words, according to Rashi, it would seem that, you know what, in Hotzas HaDeshen, maybe the Kohen should be assessing and evaluating the situation and figuring out if, you know, if he's going to get dirty, if he's not. But obviously, if the Torah commands him in the mitzvah of Hotzas HaDeshen, that mitzvah becomes absolute, unconditional. And the avoda of the Kohen is siluk ha'efer. He's got to take off the efer from the Mizbeach. And that's called an avoda p'chusa. That's a lower level of avoda. Therefore, the Kohen has to change his begadim. And that's the halacha itself. It's an absolute, unconditional halacha. It doesn't matter one iota as to whether or not he dirties his clothing. He doesn't dirty. The avoda, the Trumas HaDeshen, is that type of an avoda where we take the deshen off the mizbeach. That's called an avoda of siluk. And therefore, it's logical to believe that with regard to such an avoda, characterized as an avoda siluk, to take the deshen out, the kohen has to change his begad. So we have here a machlokes between the Ramban and other Rishonim on the one hand, and Rashi on the other. Rashi says the whole question of changing his begadim, mi'o pashat his begadim, all depends upon lichluch yeah or lichluch nein. If there won't be any lichluch, he doesn't have to change his begadim. The whole thing is just a permission that the Torah allowed him to change his begadim. But in contrast, all the other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. They're of the opinion that the Torah requires that when he's doing this kind of avoda, called an avoda siluk, to remove something from the mizbeach, then he's not allowed to wear his begadim. He must change his begadim. And that's what Trumas HaDeshen engenders, a special chiyuv in an avoda siluk of Achlofas begadim. Now, if we want to talk about the avoda of Trumas HaDeshen, which according to Rashi allows him to avoid lichluch on the begadim and change his begadim, the other Rishonim require it. It's an absolute precondition that he has to change his begadim. But take a look at this Tosfos in Masechta Brachos. The Gemara is famous for saying that the night is divided up into three thirds, three mishmaros.
And
that's a Gemara in Brachos over here. I'll show it to you here. It's right here. And the Gemara says that there's the first mishmeres, that's early in the night. Then there's the later mishmeres, and that's in the middle of the night. And then the third mishmeres, which takes you all the way up to daybreak. And the Tosfos of Rashi quotes Rabbeinu Yehuda Barzilai, and he himself quotes an earlier Tana back in Masechta Yuma that says that b'chol yom hayutar min hamizbeach b'kriyas hagaver o b'samach lo. At what time during the night did they actually bring this deshen in the machta? That's the truma. It was almost at the very end of the night, right before Kriyas HaGever, before Kachel Doodle Doo, and Bain Bilfanov Bain Meliacher, whether it was a little bit before Kriyas HaGever, a little bit afterwards, but it was by daybreak, he had finished this avoda of Trumas HaDeshen. And now he says that on Yom HaKippurim, the latest time for the Trumas HaDeshen is Chatzos, and on a regular Yontif, it's Me'ashmura HaRishona. It was done earlier during the beginning third, the first third of the night. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers what it was like back in the day when the Migdash stood, that there were these three moments during the night of Trumas HaDeshen, it says Hashem would remember the avonos of Bnei Yisrael and Mashmashin Lefon of the Migdash. At the end of the first Ashmora, in the middle of the night, and the beginning of the last Ashmora. On all these days, I should say days, on all these time periods, within the night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bocha. He cries, whatever that means, you know, in metaphysical terms. And Kshenizkar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now that Hashem reminds himself of that time period of the Beis HaMikdash, he cries. Because we're missing this great mitzvah of Trumas HaDeshen. Again, the Trumas HaDeshen took place at three different moments of time. Whether it was, number one, on a daily basis at Kriyas HaGever, that means right before daybreak, a little before, a little after, midnight on Yom HaKippurim, or at the end of the first third of the night on a regular. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers those three points during the course of the night, and he cries over the fact that we no longer have that Mizbeach and that Trumas HaMizbeach. Now, it comes out that the way the Tosa Rosh is quoting this from Yehuda Barzilai, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu had 3 points in the night which correspond to the Trumas Adeshin during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. That's when Hashem remembers the Churban. He reminds himself of the sins of Bnei Yisrael that caused him or sealed the decree that Hashem would destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers this avoda, this very precious avoda called Trumas Adeshin, Umekone, and he laments the loss of Trumas Adeshin. Now, what is this all about? There were many, many different avodas in the Beis HaMikdash. There was Karbonos, and you're talking about Haktoras, Haktores, and here we're talking about Trumas Adeshin. Why, if Hashem is crying over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, as the thoughts, the memories, so to speak, cross in front of the divine awareness, then l'chora the time synchronization should be with the avodos chashuvos, those great avodos that we lost as a result of Churban HaBayis, like for example Haktoras Haktoras. And instead, when is HaKadosh Baruch Hu crying over the loss of the Mikdash? Dafka, that moments of time that correspond to the avod of Siluk of Trumas Adeshin. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remind himself and cry out over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. So he says that in order to answer this question, what he wants to do is tell over I don't know what you want to call it, a controversy, so to speak, over the meaning of a pasuk. And this division, so to speak, this machlokas about how to interpret the pasuk is between the Beis Yisrael, who is the Rebbe of Gur, he died not that long ago, and a certain sefer called the Aron Edus. So let's just see what the Ger Rebbe had to say about this. The Ger Rebbe had a young student in his yeshiva that he was a big, he really adored him, and his name was the Tolner Rebbe. He wasn't yet the Rebbe. And the Tolner Rebbe, who was very, very connected, Belevu Benefesh, with the Beis Yisrael, would always evoke from the Beis Yisrael a statement that went more or less this way. He would say, you know what? Make sure to help other Talmidim who are having trouble in yeshiva. That, they're really having a weak moment, so to speak. And he wanted to be mezaris. The Rebbe wanted to be mezaris these young men in spiritual matters, to get them to be real shtak, to be strong, to get more dedicated to their service of Hashem. So what did he do? The Rebbe would send, we call today a shlichus, would send a certain bacher who he thought could have an influence on those students that were weak. He said to this young man, please go ahead and get yourself involved with these other bachrim that are having a difficult time, and please try to get them to be marva kedusha and tahara, to get back on the track and have a tremendous impact on them, to inspire them. And in order to elucidate this, the Rebbe mentioned that he once had an encounter with Rabbi Yechiel Yoshua Mibiala, the Biala Rebbe, who lived very close to the Beis Yisrael in his neighborhood, and they have a very close relationship. And the Rebbe and Biala said to the Beis Yisrael the following. He said to him, the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos HaKuf Yudalid interprets the pasuk Gemara Lakon in Bnei Aaron V'Amarta Alehem Lahazir Gdolim Alaktanim, that the older Kohanim, the adults, have to be careful and watch the younger Kohanim to make sure that they don't defile their sanctity of Kuna by being Metami L'Mesim. So the older Kohanim are in charge. That's called Lahazir Gdolim Alaktanim. And Gdoli Yisrael Tzrichim Lakachas Asum V'Sachruayus Al Ketanim. We are in charge and responsible for the Ketanim to make sure that they're going in the right direction. Ladrichim, Lashgiach Aleihem, to supervise them, being a Pekicha, and therefore, for sure, Yamshichu Loleches Betelem Kehaloch. If the older and more mature students will have an impact on the younger students, taking them under their wings, then the younger students will certainly go the right path and they will continue to be Bali Alocha, to be very, you know, very meticulous about the mitzvos. That's called Lahazir Agdolam Alakatanim. So it's very important to send out these shluchim and make sure to have an impact on those weaker students. And this is what the Beis Yisrael told his colleague, the Biala Rebbe. And the Biala Rebbe quotes his uncle, Reb Shragi Yoyer, who wrote a sefer called Aron Avis. And he says the following. At the end of the Pasuk, it says there in Emor, La nefesh lo yitame bi'amav. Now, what does that mean? We understand that he's enjoined from defiling himself and contaminating himself, but what's bi'amav, the extra word? And according to the Aron Edus, this Rav Shragi Yoyer, he's of the opinion that the word bi'amav is an allusion to what we call gecholim omamos. That means coals in a fire that are going out. They're slowly but surely becoming extinguished because we don't feed and fuel the fire. That's called bi'amav, meaning omamos. Omamos are those charcoals that are hot but not so hot. And here, in this context of lenefesh lo yitame bi'amav, the Torah grants the mitzvah again, when it says lenefesh lo yitame, it's an azhara, actually, because it says lo yitame bi'amav. It's a warning, enjoining the gedolim from having this contact with the ketanim, because when you're misasik with the ketanim and you try to help them and guide them and uplift them in avodas Hashem, that they shouldn't contaminate other Jews who are weak, whose gachelus is amama. Now, sometimes the gedolim wants to help this weaker student. And what happens is just the reverse. Instead of kiruv rechokim, it's richuk krovim. It's the gadol who becomes influenced by the katan, and he was on a high level in emuna and avodas Hashem, and now he's on a much lower level. So therefore, when the Torah says la nefesh lo yitame bi'amav, it means these amamim, meaning these gachalim omemot, stay away from them, because it's only going to be metame. Don't try to dedicate yourself to kiruv, you know, to try to be makariv these ketanim who went off the derech. It's going to have a negative influence on you. So he said to him, the Beis Yisrael, I would say punkfaket. The Torah doesn't say, what the Torah means to say is lo yitame bi'amav. What he means is not that he should not be metami bi'amav, but that he will never be metami bi'amav. What we have here, says the Beis Yisrael, in this pasuk of nefesh lo yitame bi'amav, is a divine promise that if a person dedicates himself to help the ketanim, to strengthen them, and to uplift them in Yiddishkeit, then the Torah promises him lo yitame bi'amav, he will not become tameh. Sometimes you have contact and close interaction with someone who is Tomei, you become Tomei, because it's contagious. But here, Hashem is giving avtocha, lo yitame bi'amav, that you will never become Tomei as a result of your chesed, because you want to extend yourself on behalf of someone who's weak, he's a weaker student, who's chas v'shalom on the verge of going off the derech. So we have here a very interesting machlokas, because according to the Aron HaEdus, the Torah is telling you, lo yitame ba'amav, don't be mitame yourself by having this close, intimate relationship with those who are on a lower level, these ketanim, who are trying to, skip through the mitzvahs and so forth and so on. No, lo yitav v'yamav. Whereas the Beis Yisrael is saying, no, Hashem is promising that lo yitav v'yamav, that you will not become tummy as a result of your kiruv operations, your efforts on behalf of the weaker Jews. Now, this is all a record of a dialogue between the Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, and the Tolner Rebbe. And after a year, the Tolner goes in again to see the Beis Yisrael, and he's talking to the Beis Yisrael. V'hizkir echad shenichnas l'sasakim bachurim, and the Rebbe, the Ger Rebbe, mentions that so and so started getting involved and trying to be mechazik other bachurim, v'hu bi'atzmo nafal v'nechlash, and he himself fell as a result. So that the Tolner Rebbe was trying to figure out, wait a minute, just a year ago, the Beis Yisrael told me that no, Hashem gave avtocha that even if a person gets involved in a kiruv kind of operation, he will not. God will still protect him. He will not allow him to become Tomei Lo Yitami Biyamov. And here, the Rebbe a year later is telling him, well, you know what? I hear about a certain student, or maybe even more than one student, that started getting involved in as an elder bacha, so to speak, in being makarev and working with the weaker students, and I hear that he himself, this Bachar who wanted to be a Baal Chesed, took a nefili, took a real fall. He got very weak. So here the Rebbe is telling us that, you know, be careful, because if you start getting involved with the weaker students, you're going to get schlepped down. And yet, a year ago, the Rebbe had just said, no, Baal lo yitami, Lenefesh lo yitami, will not become Tami. Hashem gave a promise. So the Beis Yisrael said that, you know what? Elu v'elu divril kim chayim. He said to him that what the Rebbe said in our own edus and what I told you, they're both correct. They're both absolutely accurate and honest and genuine. It all depends. In other words, the Rebbe took a look at the telling the Rebbe the Gerer, and he said, he saw on his face that he was bothered by this, and he said to him, "Vos meinstu, you know, what do you think? You think that the Aron Eidus is totally wrong? After all, Eilu Veilu Divrei Kim Chayim. It means that if a person prays to Hashem, that even though he's doing this kiruv operation, Hashem should protect him from any influence and any negative soil, you know, soiled offer that might be metameim. So the Rebbe is basically saying, you know what? If you prepare yourself and you do it all l'shem Shemayim, Enoch Inami Hashem will protect you, and then we read the pasuk Lo Yitami Biyamav as a divine promise. But if, on the other hand, you're a little bit more laid back about it, then it's possible that you will fall. And then we read the pasuk differently, not Lo Yitami that you won't become Tami, but Lo Yitami maybe you shouldn't go in a place where you'll be metami yourself. So basically, it's really a paradox of sorts. It's a, I call it a dialectic. You know, sometimes you teach the weaker students and it drags you down. But on the other hand, sometimes if you're very strong and you're very dedicated to Hashem, then it's not going to drag you down. Any sort of kiruv operation, that you have this divine promise of Hashem, of Lo Yitami B'yama. Now, if we're already mentioning the Beis Yisrael, who was a great tzaddik and a kadosh, I think we should mention what his many different endeavors and projects during the course of his lifetime. And the Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, was very emotional, very sensitive to the needs of every single Jew, and especially yeshiva students. And if he heard, for example, that in some yeshiva this, you know, there's some sort of weakness, you know, some sort of chaloshes, and they're falling apart there, then he says, I couldn't sleep the whole night. And again, the yeshiva in that case was very far from Chassidus Ger. and Hasidus in general was a Litvish yeshiva, but the Rebbe was worried about the Yiddishkeit of every single Jew, no matter whether he was part of Ger or wasn't part of Ger, whether he was a Hasid or he was a Litvak. And every moment, his heart was touched by the situation of Bachurim, of young Bachurim Tzirim, anywhere where they are. And he wouldn't budge until he at least made an effort to try to improve the situation. So therefore, this is one of the great mifalim, one of the great successes of the Beis Yisrael, that he was able to bring back to the fold many, many Jews. And we should really take that as a paradigm for us in our lives, that we should be like the Ger Rebbe, who cared so much for every single Jew, and as a result of that love, he was able to bring Jews back to the fold. In any event, let's get back to the Avodas Hadeshen that we started with. God created Bnei Adam, and what is a Ben Adam? What does it mean to be a human being? It means mortality, it means, we are finite beings, we're made of flesh and blood, we are very physical beings, we are biological beings. And therefore, Im Tzrichim Pchusim Gamkin, that sometimes man, insofar as he's Gashmi, he's physical and he's biological, then he has biological needs. There's no way of avoiding it. And on the pasuk of V'Anshei Kodesh Tiyunli, the Hasidim used to say, Anshei Kodesh V'lo Malachim. What does it mean? We have to be Anshei Kodesh. We have to try to serve Hashem with a higher level of sanctity. But it's not like the Malach Asharis say to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, you know what? There's Maspik Bashamayim. In other words, that the Hasidim would say, God is not asking for another Malach. He has plenty of Malachim up in Shemayim. Here in Oretz, what he needs is Anshei Kodesh. He needs people with all their mortal qualities, limitations, and so forth. They would still nevertheless be uplifted. And Dafka, when it comes to man in his lowest level, then that's when a man has the chance of fulfilling God's will, becoming Anshei Kodesh Tiyudli. And what does that mean? It means, this is an unbelievable Yesod he's saying, that according to Hasidus, we're not looking to become like Malachim. God has plenty of Malachim. What He wants us to do is live in this very physical life and world, and to upgrade and uplift and rechannel all these physical parts of human existence into that of Anshei Kodesh, of a holiness on a very upgraded spiritual level. The Gemara says in Pesachim, Ein Simcha El B'Basar, and what that means in a Drush sense is that Basar is Gashmi, is physicality. The physical body of man is Megusham. And Ein Simcha El B'Basar, if somebody can successfully overcome this Gashmi part of him, if he can uplift himself to a high spiritual level, there's no greater Simcha than that. And it's possible, therefore, that Trumas Hadeshen really symbolizes this whole endeavor, this approach, step by step. The Avodos and the Migdash were Gavoah Me'al Gavoah. They were on the highest level of Malachi Asharis. And nevertheless, they were lower Avodos, on a lower level, what we call Pchusos, that were inferior to the highest level. Instead of Zrikas Adam, now we're talking about Siluk HaPsolos, getting rid of the Psolos that's unnecessary. What would be a good word for Psolos?
Slippage,
refuse, right. And the Mikdash encompasses both. It has this high level of Avoda, in which we become almost like Malach Asharis, but it also has these lower levels of getting rid of the rubbish, getting rid of the psolos. And even those avodos on the low level have dinim, they have laws. A kohen and bigdei kahuna all apply to straight across the board. And we need a kohen with bigdei kahuna even for the so-called in quotation marks, lowest level of avoda. And all that is to try to uplift this world and its physicality to a higher level. In fact, they had a pious, which meant a pious in English would be a lottery, in order to see who would actually merit this great opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshet. And if you take a look at Tosfos in Menachos and Daf Kuf Yud, he says that even in Shamayim there is a Mizbeach, and up in the Mizbeach there's a Malach called Michael, and he's the Sarah Gadol. What's he busy doing with his time? He's taking the Neshamos of Klal Yisrael, and he's being makriv them on the Mizbeach. Now, it's interesting to wonder whether or not in Shamayim there is also a Trumas Hadeshet. And Tosfos in Masechta Menachos, although he says that there was a Mizbeach in Shamayim, he doesn't address the question as to whether or not in Shamayim there was Trumas Hadeshet. But you know what? Maybe it's possible that in the Shamayim there was no need for Trumas Hadeshet. Trumas Hadeshet means that there's psolus that has to be gotten rid of. Up in Shamayim, there is no psolus. Everything is pure and holy. But in the Beis HaMikdash down on earth, that's where it's important to have those avodas of siluk, the lower levels of avoda, in order to emphasize that al kol artzosenu, despite all our artziyut, our physicality, nevertheless, we serve Hashem, we sanctify, and we uplift all these physicalities into a higher level. So we take something like deshen, which is almost the lowest level of physicality, and we make it into an avoda. And it's quite amazing. And when the Torah says to this pasuk that we saw before, pasuk Gimel, that says Lavash HaKohen Midovad, and we derive from that pasuk Dinim, this is in Masechta Yuma Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, Dinim that apply to Bigdei Kohen in general for all avodas in the Mikdash. It's Dafka Ba'avodas Trumas Hadeshen, the avoda, the service of Trumas Hadeshen, seems to be on a very high level. It's a very special, unique avoda. And therefore, in that avoda of Trumas Hadeshen, the Torah commands Midevat. In other words, on the one hand, the Torah is indicating that there are certain limitations over here. It's Midevat, Midovat. And on the other hand, the Torah is saying that this is a very, very important avoda, and which Kohen will merit to do that avoda. And if that be the case, then we have the following analogy: Echad gavoa v'echad namuch. As great and as high as it is, it's equal to something that's namuch, that's low down over there. The Kohen, you know, the Kohen needs midovad. Midovad means that the begadim have to fit him and be measured for him, custom made. Right? And that means it's made with the human limitations that apply. When the Beis HaMikdash was Charev and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had this Mizbeach up in Shamayim, and Michal, the Sarah Gadol, was bringing, you know, Neshamos Shel Klal Yisrael on that Mizbeach, but nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lamenting and he's crying. Why? What's lacking? What's missing? Ah, the Avodos Pachusos. The very base human kinds of biological avodos which are missing up in Shamayim, and those avodos are only continuing in the Beis HaMikdash HaTachton, down here on earth. And as long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash down in Aretz, it's after the Churban and there is no longer avodas Trumas Hadeshen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying and lamenting. This is during the period of time of the avoda of the Trumas Hadeshen, meaning God's crying is synchronized with those 3 points during the three Hashmaras of the Laila, when the Beis HaMikdash, we had the Trumas Hadeshen. That's when God is crying. Of all the avodas that God is so much yearning for, so to speak, he's nostalgic, he misses them, it's after this low avoda of Trumas Hadeshen, because that indicates that we are capable as human beings of upgrading and uplifting even something like the Deshen. And Chazal taught this to us that kayom shecharev habayis, we no longer have the Beis Hamikdash today, and we dedicate ourselves to study the laws of kodshim and halomed omed b'mokam akravas hakarbonos. He who studies the laws, it's as if he implemented the laws. And of course, the Chafetz Chaim would go around trying to be ma'orer people, communities, whoever would listen to him, to inject and emphasize the learning of kodshim. In his yeshiva in Radin, they learned Seder HaKodshim. They didn't skip kodshim like they do in all of the yeshivas. Not only that, Chafetz Chaim wrote on kodshim in his Sfarim. And many G'dolei Yisrael followed in the footsteps of the Chafetz Chaim, and they studied, they dedicated part of their day to Asek B'Kodshim. Now, it's possible that by studying Kodshim, Chazal were trying to indicate that Higbilu L'Karbonos is Mimale Es Hatzad Shal Ikar Avodos. You know, it could be possible that Limud HaTorah could replace, you know, we didn't, the Shalom Parasite could replace the Karbonas that are on a high level, you know, the, those great services, the Avodah of Zrikas Adam and all that's Machaper. What about the Avodah Sanachusos? What about the lower level Nechosos, the seal of taking out the Afer? Do we find also that with regard to those kind of Avodos of Trumas Hadeshen and Hotzos Hadeshen, there too we find that learning the Halachas is a replacement for those, for those avodos? And it could be possible that, as we spoke about earlier, about the Gecholim Omamos, you know, those coals that are about to be extinguished, you know, the flame is going, is dying down, is maybe Lahotzi Yokar Mizolel, is that Beis Yisrael, or Ger Rebbe, was trying to say is that there are those who are weak in Yiddishkeit, and we have to be mechazik them in Torah and Yerushalayim, and from these weak people can come great people, just like in Matan Torah. And now we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we have in its place Trumas HaDeshen, and we have to now Loretis LaNoshim, in order to be Mekayim in the midst of Trumas HaDeshen in our time, in a symbolic way, of course, and to bring Yiddishkeit and Chizuk in Torah and Yerushalayim to the lower echelons, meaning those Anoshim who unfortunately are no longer Shomer Torah mitzvahs, we got to go down to that level, so to speak, to meet with these people who fell in this so called refes. And nichshalu, and they went down. They fell very shy, very short of fulfilling the mitzvahs. V'eino misugolim l'natzeach es Yitzram. What is the source, the root of this problem faced by these, shall we call them, nechsholim, those who have fallen? Their problem is that there's a tremendous power of the Yetzer Hara, and they cannot seem to successfully overcome and neutralize that power of the Yetzer Hara. We are called upon as those who are not Nechsholim Chas Shalom, but just the opposite, we're successful, to try to be Tomech, try to support these people who need that love, who need that Chizuk. That's called Yemin Mekarevis, to extend that right arm in order to help these people, to influence these people, inspire them to a higher level. And maybe that's what Rashi means when he says Uposhet es begodim v'lovash begodim acherim, is only limited, is only related to Hotzas HaDeshen and not to Trumas HaDeshen. If Deshen represents symbolically Tmicha, the support that we have to give for those who are falling, the Nechsholim, in Milu Dishmai, in spiritual matters, then there really are two different levels over here. Every single one of us is surrounded in close proximity by Krovim, by close relatives and close friends, And sometimes amongst those people that we have constant and, you know, close, intimate contact with, there's a chalash. There's somebody gets weak. Weak in Yerushalayim, in Mila Dishmaya. It could be even a friend of ours. And in such a case, we must give that friend support. Litbochbo uli odido. And give him encouragement. And that's called Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen is, as we said before, with a small, relatively small kli called a machta. And that's what we have to do. But there are also, and this is a whole different category, of achim v'achyot mibachutz, meaning those who live in a different community than ours. We don't have close, intimate contact with them on a regular basis. And not only that, they are rechokim, not just from us, but they're far and distant from the kiyum of Torah mitzvahs. And that's chas v'shalom what it is. And therefore, in order to get access to even these people, we need a special training. Hachshara miyuchedet. And we have to remember that there is a sikun, there's a certain element of danger, as we said earlier, the name of the Aron HaEdus, that, you know, you come in contact with coals, and there's black and soot, then, you know, it's going to impact on you. It's going to take you down. So in this case, Rashi says that you need other begodim because it's impossible that shiyotzi kol kach harbe deshen v'lo yislach lechu. It's impossible, virtually, not to get dirty. That's as far as hotzas hadeshen is concerned. But trumas hadeshen is a different symbolic message. There, it's referring to those who in close proximity to us. But we see that they need a little extra hand, a little extra help and support. Here, you can wear the regular begodim. There's no need to take off the high-level begodim. Because, tzarch miyad lo geshes v'lios erim u'nechonim u'mezumonim lismach. There's no time now, you know, to change our begodim. I mean, there's an urgent need. One of my brothers is falling. One of my associates, neighbors, friends is not doing well. He needs that help. He needs that tmicha. He needs that encouragement. I don't have to worry about soiling my begodim. You know, he's within the fold. He's not far away. He's not completely lost to Torah mitzvahs, but he does need chizuk at that point. And on that level, I can do what's called a trumas hadeshen. I don't have to change my clothing. With regard to trumas hadeshen, Rashi holds, maybe there's a reshus, but it's not obligatory because trumas hadeshen represents a contact with people who you want to be mechazek, very close, intimate friends of yours, and there's no fear that you will be dragged down as a result. We don't have to worry about richuk krov. Now, Reb Leibele Eger, who was in Lublin, who in his youth was a Talmud of the Kotzker, and he was one of the many Litvaks that the Kosker made into Hasidim, transformed them. In any event, he himself became an Admur, a Hasidic Rebbe. And he always reminisced, and he had tremendous nostalgia of his Rebbe, his Gadol, the Kosker Rebbe. And wherever he went, Reb Leibel used to announce that if anybody could tell me over some Torah from the Rebbe, from the Kotzker Rebbe, that I had never heard, I would give him a matbea zav chashuv. I would give him a very significant, worthy, and worth, you know, an expensive matbea coin of zav. And the truth is that people came over to tell, you know, Reb Leibel over a vart from the Kotzker, and inevitably, almost, you know, without exception, Reb Leibel would say, "Oh, I know, I can finish it up for you. You know, before you get to the end of the vart, I can tell you the vart." Why? Because Reb Leibel of Lublin knew all the Torah of the Rebbe Mikotsk, of his Rebbe, and it wasn't until one older Jew, some chassid, came over to him to tell him a vart, and he himself, by telling this vart over to Reb Leibel, won the grand prize of this matbea zav. And what was the vart that he said over in the name of the Kotzker? The Pasuk says in Tehillim Pei Tes, Ki mi vashachak yaroch l'Hashem, yidme l'Hashem bivnei elun. The simple interpretation of this Pasuk indicates that ein mi asher yidameh l'gadluso shel Hashem b'shamayim. Ki mi vashachak yaroch l'Hashem. Who could possibly hold up a candle, you know, to prepare to be evaluated like Hashem? So the Kotzker Rebbe said, no. He said, mi b'shamayim tzorech laroch. Hayne lochin es atzmo likras HaKadosh Baruch. Mi v'shachak yaroch. Yaroch means yechim. Who up in Shamayim, up in the Shchakim, in the holy spheres, has to prepare himself for an encounter with Hashem? Malachim don't need the avoda. They don't need the hachana. They don't have to clean themselves out and get rid of the refuse, the psolus, in order to be yaroch l'Hashem, in order to encounter the great, have this phenomenal encounter with Hashem. They don't have to prepare themselves. The Malachim are used to Shamayim. That's where they live. They don't have to go through this tremendous process of hachana, of nikri psoles, to get rid of their physical psoles, to get rid of their spiritual psoles, all this refuse. They don't need that. They can go directly with a gisha yeshira, directly to Hashem, and they will accept the mandate of Hashem. They will fulfill and implement exactly what God commands them meticulously. And therefore, mi v'chashachak yaroch l'Hashem. That's not the same in Aretz. You know, in Aretz, we really have to prepare. You know, we can't just expect to skip over all the steps and come in front of Hashem and say we're ready for this encounter. And that's what David HaMelech says. Vashamayim, up in Shamayim HaKadosh Baruch, you have Malachim. This is the Pasuk in Tehillim that we're referring to, that were created minahar dinar, wherever that is, but chaselem esapchisus, what they're lacking is that lower level of Bnei Adam, with all man's limitations, with the Eitz Hara, with the deficiencies physically, the limitations, the restrictions that we have. And therefore, we, Bnei Adam, we have to prepare for the Avodah. We have to go through the process of Nikui, of cleaning and cleansing and purify ourselves, getting rid of all the psoles, different kinds of categories of psoles, before we can possibly come close to Avodah Hashem. We're not ready. And if we understand that, then there's a certain Nachas Ruach of HaKadosh Baruch, which is even greater than that of the Malachim. Because we have to face these challenges. The Malachim don't have to face them. And this is a big yesod that we see all over the place. That, you know, the Malachim don't get rewarded the way we do, because for them it's not such a big deal. It's not such a challenge. The greatest challenge is when we can perceive Hashem, you know, as human, physical, mortal beings with all our refuse and all our lichluch, and pierce through all these layers that separate the barriers and overcome the Yetzer Hara, and then meet Hashem. You know, that's where the difference is, perhaps, between the Ness of Chanukah and all the other Nisim, because during the period of Chanukah, Hashem wasn't, there was no Nevi'im, there was no, that high level of revelation was not available. And that's why when you compare the Ness of Chanukah to other Nisim, it's a great miracle, because even in that darkness, even when we were kaviyofel so far from Hashem, we still were zochet to that great miracle. So we have to understand that the Torah was not given up to Shamayim, up in Shamayim, it was given down on this earth to physical beings, to limited beings, and therefore this concept of Hotzas HaDeshen becomes so critical, because it really symbolizes the fact that even in the lower echelons of what we're doing, you know, taking out the Deshen, even so we're serving Hashem. And the Harovas HaDeshen is going to take place, you know, again symbolically, when we reach out to try to help those who need, you know, Chizuk and Ruchnius. And it's that's called Trumas HaDesh, that's raising up this Desh in the weak person. So this is the yesod that he wants to say over here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries three times in the three Ashmoros during the course of the night over the Churban, because those times coincide dafka to the avod of Trumas Hadeshen, which in a sense is the lowest avodah. And why does Rashi say that it's no chova to change your begadim? He says because there's also the possibility of Trumas Hadeshen, not just Hotzas Hadeshen, meaning the three points in the night in which there was Trumas Hadeshen. You know what? Trumas Hadeshen could work in a way that you don't have to change your begadim. It might be a Trumas Hadeshen within, you know, the community, within those who are close, those who are still observant and dedicated to Hashem. You don't have to worry about getting soiled. My father, Zichron Levirach, used to always give the mashal that there was this young girl who got involved with the wrong chevra, you know, the wrong types of friends, and as a result it dragged her down. And her father was so concerned about it, but he didn't know exactly how to say it to her, because sometimes if you're too direct, you know, people get insulted. And so what he did was he sat her down next to the campfire, you know, this little fire in their home, fireplace. And what he did was, with his foot, he pushed out of the fire one of the coals, and together they watched the coal until it, you know, because it was no longer attached to the fire, till it went down. And then he told her to pick up the coal. And first she was very scared because maybe it was still hot, but it would have cooled off. She picked it up, and then she looked at her hands and she saw they were all filthy. And she got the message, you know, symbolically, that if you come in contact with them, so therefore we have to be very careful. But if these people that we want to be machazek are still within the, you know, the dedication mode to, you know, to Torah mitzvahs, maybe they're a little bit weaker, that we don't have to worry about. But that's this idea of Trumas Hadeshen, and the thesis and the theme of what the Beis Yisrael was saying is that we have to do the maximum that we can in order to help other Jews, and that Hashem sees us down on this earth as greater than Malachi Asharis, because we can take even that lower lichluch, so to speak, of life, and we can face those challenges and simply uplift ourselves and inspire ourselves to higher levels. Yiratzon, that's what he concludes here with. I always love to read the Yiratzon. He has a blessing and a prayer at the end. Yazar lano Hashem Yisparach. Hashem should help us. Naskil el dal, which means we'll help those who are destitute. Gam beruchnius, even in spirituality, we'll reach out to them. Shania erim, we should be aware. Ukshuvim, and listening. Lisovim osan, those around us. Legabi atzrochem ruchni, to hear about their spiritual needs. We should be sensitive and listen to them. Venuchal gam anu litrom lizulse, so we could also make a Trumas Hadeshen. Vinoven, and we should understand. Shebekach, in that way, anachnu osim, we are really implementing the avodas hakodesh of the Trumas Hadeshen. We should be zochet to do that, to uplift and inspire those around us. Kein yiratzon. Amen.